This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You can listen to this on YouTube.
Okay, wait, they've got to say something else besides that, Mother.
What is going on here?
We just wanted to tell the Sneaky Freaks, hey, you can be watching this on YouTube.
Hey, Sneaky Freaks, you can be watching this on YouTube.
All right, they get it. Go to YouTube.com and look up Sex Talk with My Mom. You can watch this whole episode live. Is it live? No. You watch this whole episode with us, IRL.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I lotion up, I take a terrible shit, and I have to shower then.
What?
And I start repeating this cycle of shit, lotion, shit, shower, lotion, shit, shower. By the time I get over there, I don't know if I have lotion on my balls or not. I start having to lotion my balls.
How do you make something so fun, like a naked bike ride, into something so weird?
It's uncomfortable to talk about sex, but sometimes it's important to get uncomfortable. Sex Talk with My Mom is the best mom-son podcast about sex.
It's the only one as well.
My mother is a cougar.
My son is a clown.
In a nutshell, my dad died, so my mother decided to create a YouTube channel all about sex, like all mothers do.
And then my son decides to use my material in his stand-up comedy routines.
And thus, Sex Talk with My Mom was born. Welcome to Sex Talk with My Mom. I'm Cam Poder.
And I'm Karen Lee Poder.
We're chatting about sex. We're chatting about dating.
We're chatting about life.
Today, we have a very special guest on the show. First of all, I want to introduce Dale, our wonderful videographer and producer.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Hello.
He's always so like loud and boisterous.
Yes, that's Dale. Thank you for being here, and thank you for making this accessible to all of you sneaky freaks on YouTube, so that you can watch us on YouTube. This is all Dale's doing. Thank you, Dale. Okay. And now we also have another special guest on the show, which is Itai Geiger.
Yes. He's Israeli. That's why he has a really cool name.
Well, he comes from Israeli descent, but he was born in the United States. In any case, he is a dating guru. And I can speak to this firsthand because he remodeled my dating profile. And I went from having zero matches in the course of 3 months to 10 matches overnight.
How does he have this intuitive knowledge, by the way? I don't even understand how he can do it, but he's great.
Well, we're going to get into it in this interview. So Okay. We're going to start with this interview. We're going to talk to him for some minutes, and then we'll come back and do the rest of our normal shtick.
Okay.
How does that sound to you?
Sounds like a good plan, Cam.
All right. Enjoy this little chat with Itai Geiger. Itai, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Oh, this is such a pleasure, a delight on a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? What day is it?
I don't know where I am right now.
All right.
Yeah, that's how I feel. But I'm glad to be here.
Wherever we are, we're happy.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here as well, because you have changed my life. No, seriously.
You're right.
To the extent of I did not know if I was going to be single for the rest of my life before you came along. I was getting no matches whatsoever. I was on three different apps, nothing. And then one dinner, and suddenly I'm rolling in matches. Rolling.
You brought me much nachas.
Mazel. Yiddish.
That's a Yiddish, you know? Yiddish for like happiness, because my son is no longer going to be celibate.
I mean,
yesher koach to your son. There we go.
Wait, so Itai, how first of all, how did you learn the tricks of the dating app?
Oh, it's a sad story.
I love to start with a tragedy.
It's a tragedy that ends in a comedy.
Sad, yeah, exactly. It's a sad story. Started in 2007. 2007, OkCupid hits the markets, okay? And a friend, I was in theater school at the time, and we found out one of our friends was like on this like dating website thing. Like, what? Nobody in college? Like, what the heck's wrong with this person? So me and a group of friends created a profile to kind of troll our friend.
No
a dating
way.
Profile. Yeah. It's pretty messed up. But we only did it for like a show. We like matched with them. We're like sending stuff. And then I realized, whoa, this is really interesting. Well, I can meet so many people, and I just went to town. They have like 50 million questions you could ask and answer and like all these things. And so I just kind of went down the rabbit hole, and pretty much since then, since 2007, I've been online dating.
It's unbelievable. And have you had some success?
Oh yeah. Every single serious relationship after college was somebody that I met on a dating app.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It's yeah, I can't tell if mom is like, wow, that's sad. See, sad. It's a very sad story.
No, I'm saying, wow. I keep going through my head that it's so different from when, obviously, when I was dating. And I mean, I dated the second time around, and online dating was a thing then, but I could have used a guru's help here.
Mm.
So just to be clear, are you a professional at this? Would you consider yourself?
No, I do not get paid to do this.
Was I the first profile that you've ever remodeled?
No.
You've done makeovers for others?
Yes.
Wait, so it was not a surprise when I was like, okay, we need to workshop this.
So wait a second. Like, maybe this is something you could do as a career.
Maybe.
Have you considered it?
How much would you pay? Well, given the results, how much would you, like, what would you think is a fair price?
If you have a Jewish mother, she'll pay a lot.
I honestly, if you could show results,
$200. $200 for what, though?
A makeover.
Just one go, just what I did that night, $200. You'd pay me $200.
No.
You have to guarantee results.
I'm thinking it's
you did. I mean, you showed results for sure.
But he can then further go into deeper dives by going out and as the dates occur or as the texting occurs.
I can sit behind you with a little mic in my ear.
And sort of like Roxanne.
Hey, listen.
Well, let's jump into it because since then you've also remodeled one of our other friends' profiles and he's also seen overnight results.
Overnight. Not a joke. Like that literally same
overnight.
Night. Same night.
Same fucking night. I mean, overnight I went from no results over no matches over three months to 10 matches overnight.
Yeah. Wow. 10?
10. 10 nice. Overnight. And it's
still amazing.
Has
it's
continued
going.
On and people still are. So it's not even. I was like, well, maybe it's just the algorithm. Like if you show enough changes, you know, it'll work. But no. It continues. People are liking me.
All right. All right. I'm dying to know. What is this? Already?
So what's the secret?
What's the magic sauce?
If you have a general overall and then I kind of outlined the stages of the profile that we can go through.
Great. Perfect. Okay. So I'm somebody who is very social and I love meeting people and getting to know them. And, you know, I think that's not always easy for people. So that's a thing. That's
and
a thing.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay.
I'm 33 years old.
You're,
never
you're
been married.
Way older than me.
Single.
I'm just kidding. You're 1 year older than me.
My back feels way older than you. That's for sure.
I don't even want to hear about this stretching that's going on here.
So I think that is something that is just very unique to me and my experience with dating in general. Okay.
Yeah.
The online space is filled. What I know for sure by having a lot of platonic female friends, as I hear all of their frustrations and their pains, and a lot of time these things are communicated on their profiles. So these are little things that I'm picking up along the way. Sort of like, what are women saying about what they're observing? You know, hey, don't swipe left if you're got your shirt off and you're in front of a mirror. So great. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. It's that simple.
My mom has suggested.
I have put up pictures of him with his shirt
She's
off.
She's constantly taking pictures of me without my shirt on saying, use this on your profile.
Yeah.
I think like if it's a candid and it's like, so for like Sam,
yeah,
he's
candid.
He's like dancing and he's like, it's like a candid shot from far away, but it's like, he doesn't have like full chest out. He's got like one nip out.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
It's
I know
like,
that picture.
You're like, you gotta like see side peck and nip and like bicep. And it's like, okay, that guy's like physical. Like he's probably active and he's got like, you
but
know,
it's not like straight on, like he's posing for a portrait or anything.
Yes, exactly.
So
exactly.
This was the big change that you made to my pictures. You were like too many.
More candid unnecessary.
Yeah, you want
too many pose shots.
Yes, exactly. You don't want like a lot of selfie. You want variety. You mm-hmm. want to be able to have to show exactly who you are, right? So ultimately the trick is being your most honest and truthful self, and you're presenting that.
I don't know. Cam did it before this. One of his profiles was all about like him being clowny, and I don't know if that was necessarily going to be the turnout for everybody.
So, So, but here's the thing. Cam's not just a funny person, right? There's more to Cam than just being a silly, funny person. And The more that...
all your profile about clowns?
Okay, Itai, keep going.
But that's the thing. It's sort of like, you know, I think the more that people are fully aware and self-reflective about who they are as a person and how they operate in the world around them, the more likely you are going to be a grounded person, the more likely you're going to be an interesting person. And, you know, some people are not. And I don't know how to change that, but I know Cam is. I know Cam is. So, you know, I think there are some people who need to, like, change their life. But if you have to change your life, maybe you shouldn't be dating. Maybe you shouldn't be having a profile and dating.
You're absolutely right. It's got to be you got to be confident and you're self-aware. And if you don't have that going first, then it's all going to be a disaster.
Exactly. And it's not about, like, oh, how do I compare to other men? Because we're coming from a lens of heterosexual... straight, like, this is the sort of, that's what I am, and Cam, I assume that's what you are based on what we've talked about. So it's very, you know, it's that sliver. So, you know, these things might be different for, you know, non-binary whatever people. And so from that lens specifically, you know, I think about, like, okay, what is my masculinity? Like, how do I represent my masculinity, and how do I feel about myself throughout my life? So I know for sure that I'm not a football person. I'm, you know, go sports ball. Like, these are not my strengths. These are not things that I'm going to, like, that's not what I am in my life. And so if somebody else is interested in that, then we're not going to be a match. So what I'm going to do is showcase all the things that I think are important in my life, what my day-to-day is like, what's important to me, and that's ultimately what I'm, like, highlighting in my profile. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, there are stages of, like, you got like, 3 seconds to, like, grab that attention. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's storytelling, right? You're really just doing storytelling and highlighting yourself as in a kind of a weird way, a product. You're a product.
this really appears to me like a marketing exercise. Like, how are you marketing yourself? How can 100%. You tell as much about your whole personality and your interests in as short a period of time as possible?
Exactly. And on top of that, I think maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, there was all these things coming out about, like, there were, like, reality TV shows of guys that are, like, the pickup artist.
Oh,
yeah,
tell me
you
about
gotta,
it.
You need the, like, tagline, and you need to dress like this, and, like, just look in her eye. It's like, what the fuck? No, that's not, don't do any of those things.
Yeah, but what about those don'ts? Like, what do you not want to do?
Like, picking up women or online dating specifically?
No, we're online dating. Specifically, like, for example, I don't like when I was looking through the Cam stuff, and if you can't even tell who the person is, like, she's a group of her friends or whatever, what's the point?
Yes, correct.
You got to sit there. Oh, is this the one, or they all look the same?
Yeah, exactly. So I think you want 2 to 3 really good shots of your face, different angles, and they should be recent. If you have somebody who has facial hair like me, and, like, I change it sometimes, so I've got, like, one where I just had a mustache. Sometimes I just do a mustache. Sometimes my beard is long. So I've kind of got, like, a varying degree of, like, where my facial hair is. But it's always I always have a minimum of 2 to 3, like, current photos. You don't want to catfish people, obviously. But yeah, I think the don'ts are, you know, dark shadows, or you can't really, like, when you're in you can't see yourself because you want to see your face. You want to show your full body. They want to show, like, what you do and how your body looks. Because, like, this is the sad truth is that it is very surface level and it is very judgmental. This is a judgmental exercise where people are going through, nah, I don't like that. I like that. I don't like that. I like that.
Yeah.
One trick that I think is interesting is if you put a profile photo that is of your face and you're looking away, supposedly there's some sort of psychological effect that shows that you're going to be like, hey, I want to see, like, this person isn't looking at me, because a lot of most photos are direct on, you know, profile shot, whatever. And it's not, it doesn't show as much. I don't know. For some reason, it doesn't work as well. But every photo that I've ever used for my first photo of me looking away, not making eye contact, has always worked well for me.
You're looking off into the yonder.
That might have been the biggest change you made for me. You were like, none of these could be your front runner. And so you immediately just took a picture of me near a fire. And
it was nice. It was like we were sitting out there. We had a little fire. I was like, oh, my God, the lighting's going to be nice on you. Sit down here. We're going to do it, like, we'll play it out. Like, we're laughing, having a good time. I took, like, 50 photos, and you picked whatever which one, like, had the best. You know, you could see your face. You could see that you were laughing.
You were like, just do this.
Oh, yeah, I did. I picked it.
Yeah. And I would never have even thought to pick that picture. I was unshowered. Like, for three days.
There is no excuse for not at least being clean.
I was not showered, and I showed it to
a girl.
Are you
saying that girls like dirty pictures?
Well, I don't think she can really see. You can't really see the dirtiness in the picture.
It's nighttime, and it's like, yes. It was like the flames were illuminating you.
Yes,
it wasn't,
exactly.
Yeah, they couldn't tell.
This girl, I showed it to a friend, and she was like, I was like, what do you like about this picture? Because she was like, that's a good one. And I was like, I would never have chosen that one. And she was like, no, this is a very good picture of you. It shows... you're not looking at the camera, so you kind of have you're it's like very
Ooh,
natural.
This is validating. This is validating.
Yes, dude.
Oh.
She's like you're something like is interesting about this. And then she's like your jawline, because you're not facing the camera, is very pronounced.
Ooh.
And you have a pronounced jawline. People should know about that.
People should know about this.
We got to tell them. This is marketing. We got to let the people know about Cam's jawline.
Exactly. And then she was like, your shirt, the way that it's like hold it, it shows your pecs. And I was like, I didn't even realize I had pecs.
See, I told you should show your pecs.
But there was a way to do this.
But it's side pec, because you're kind of, again, it's all about that side pec.
This side pec.
Side pec.
The side
it's
pec.
Yeah, so it really did work.
So you don't, like, because I was remember looking online, and I'm like, why is this guy showing, like, a big boat behind him? He wants to prove that he has a yacht or a car. Or, you know, those are all bullshit things. And
bullshit.
I don't like when they're wearing sunglasses even, because you can't see their eyes. And I'd like to know who I'm dealing with.
I think you're right. You're right.
And then with the writing, the prompts you used were very specific.
That's what I want to know. Because, again, not to be superficial, but I remember the short time I was on, I didn't read any of their shit. Except, I'm like, two seconds. So you're right. You got to grab them within the first 3 seconds. And then if
photo.
You do read, what I was remembering was I liked the ones that were really, really funny.
Of course. Got to be
funny. But that was just me.
Yeah. And some people don't have a sense of humor, so they don't, you know, you don't want to be dating people who don't have a sense of humor, Cam.
Yeah, I know.
You got to find people who like your sense of humor and your brand. They like that's your brand, right?
Right.
Your because you are going to be hanging out with this person, hopefully.
Exactly.
And you want it to be fun. And so you're just being transparent and honest and setting proper. It's all about setting proper expectations.
So,
right? Like,
so when you saw his profile, what was your immediate feeling?
I was like, oh, no. I was like, oh, no.
So here are the prompts that we ended with, okay?
Okay.
So we started with, you were like, use two truths and a lie.
For the first prompt. So we're talking about Hinge right now. Are we allowed to talk? Are we allowed to say this?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about Hinge specifically. You've got a first profile photo. Then you've got that like bar that has all of the information, like height, religion.
Right.
Like, do you smoke? Do you not? Then it's got...
And you were like, you should use a lot of information there.
Yes, give them the information.
Why?
Because your mom is right. Like, that first couple seconds, either they're in... It's always about... It's curious, right? Like, oh, this guy kind of seems nice.
Mm-hmm.
And 50% actually go through and read those things. But of the 50 that... Of the people who match with you, likely read your information.
Yeah, I'm reading all their shit.
Yeah, I am too. But if I'm not interested, I'm not reading it, right? Like, you filter out... But the things that are important are like, yeah, there's some things you didn't have visible. You didn't say if you smoked or not.
Right.
That's very important.
Yeah.
You didn't say if you smoke weed or not. That's very important to people. We just know that there are some, like, there's things socially that we do or don't do.
Right.
And making that clear to people is really important because, you know, you want to know who you're getting involved with. Like your mom said, like, let me see your eyes. Are you trustworthy or not?
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Totally. And so then the first prompt that you chose, you were like, do two truths and a lie. It shows more information about you.
Yes. One, it's a great way to show a lot of information about you. It shows it's an opportunity to be creative, show you're funny.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, it's open-ended. Mm-hmm. Any opportunity to promote questions and conversation, icebreakers, is like is golden.
Yes.
You always want to like lead with open-ended questions and things that will like – it's a call to action. Hey – tell me what you think is fake or not. I don't know how many times people are like, oh, I hope that's real. Oh, I hope that's the lie, right? Like, it's a great conversation starter.
I can just imagine what Cam's two truths is lie. Well, I can't even
imagine. What are you imagining?
Some clowny thing.
No, it's not some clowny thing. This is what it says. I've interviewed over 200 people about their sex lives.
Well, that's intriguing.
I'm a clown school dropout.
That I would take a pass on.
What? And then I've spent 50 days in silence and it was boring.
Wait, I think those are all true.
Well,
so here's the...
Except that it probably wasn't boring. It was probably exciting.
That is kind of the...
I think if you can make your lie like somewhat false but closer to truth is also a good trick, because you have more to talk. If it's just a random thing, there's not a lot to talk about. But if you're like, well, no, I actually, you know, interviewed 252 people. They're like, oh wow, you did actually do that. You know, so then it's like still somewhat of a truth.
Exactly. And so then the other thing that you taught me, which was when messaging people, I was trying to be coy and like just being like, hey, what's up? Or like, you know, what are you up to? Or like bullshit.
Here's the reality. Women do not, again, straight.
You don't have to qualify. We already heard you. Or okay, heterosexual
great. Situation. Because I don't want to speak for other women. I don't know. Okay.
You could speak for whatever you want.
Okay, great. They do not want to be the first person to reach out. They just don't like it. They're constantly having to be, because men are not confident enough. They're not creative enough. They're just not out there to like do the thing. Like I jump really quickly from the first few messages to like, here's my number. Well, let's meet up on Wednesday, 6 o'clock at this place. Like, just the more proactive.
I like
and,
that decisiveness
like, get,
there.
Just get to the, exactly. But that indecisiveness shows up in the first messaging, like that window of time for whoever's sending the first message. So if you're just like, hey, what's up? They're going to be like, God damn it.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about if the person used a Groupon on that date?
What's that? On a Groupon? You went on a date through Groupon?
We're not going into this, okay? It was a long time ago. I've learned
what?
Since. We don't need to go into this.
Okay.
I have more important questions to ask you.
Okay, fair.
Okay.
Lead with an open-ended question.
That's it. That was
lead
huge.
Lead with an open-ended question and ideally something about their profile, right? Use your comedy brain. Hey,
and
use
said,
your comedy brain.
You were like, don't comment on the pictures, comment on the text.
Yeah, comment meaning like when you like someone's profile, you have the option of liking many things. You can like a photo. You can like one of the prompts. I never like a photo, ever.
I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
Because seriously, it's like women are tired of being objectified. You know, it's
yes,
like, oh,
exactly.
They want to hear, oh, this person's got like passions. You know, something that is exciting.
Or curious about a specific part of me.
Exactly.
And I'm choosing to
right.
portray.
Yes.
And you can weed out all those people right now that don't think clowns are cool.
You're a dropout, so it's okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, I think leading with a, like, I like on the profile, if I see someone, I'm like, oh my God, she's super cute. Oh my God, she like alluded to, I don't know, cooking. I'm like, I like cooking. Whoa, that's cool. So then I'll like the comment on cooking, and then I'll ask her like, hey, when was the last time you ate pasta? Or like, I don't know, anything. It could be anything.
When
but
the
question
pasta.
Could be anything. Make a choice. Make a big, bold choice that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Don't be weird.
So Cam, what actually happened? What happened to you? So you did all these things, and then all of a sudden.
So that leads us to today, which is I have now set up three dates. All three have flaked.
Flaked.
They don't show. They don't show. Like the day of or the night before, they're like, oh,
I'm not feeling well. I'm not. Yeah, but you know, okay, so here's another thing that I think people need to, they're just like, I put zero pressure or expectation on any of this. Zero. Uh-huh. I put a lot of work in like my promoting myself, because this shit takes time. It's not going to, it takes time. So
it's a numbers game too, right? It's a numbers game.
Yes.
So if you ask 50 people out and three of them accept it, then you got three, if you do three people, then three play.
You need 50 more to for one person to, and that's just, you're right. It's just. That's the garbage of online dating.
So you don't think it's something I'm doing that's...
No. You have no control over that. What you have control over, like how you present yourself, what you show to, like how do you... What do you highlight, and how you reach out and communicate with people. That's all you can control.
So when someone flakes on you, do you then try to create another time, or you say...
Yeah,
next?
Of course. Yeah, I don't...
See, I'm like, oh, fuck this person.
You get
No. Honestly, most people do go like, fuck this person, and I just think that's just... That's not a person I want to date.
Yeah, you go balls to the wall. I've seen your messaging. I'm like, do you do a double message? You showed me like a whole fucking wall of blue questions and stuff.
Hey,
like
what's up? What's going on? Hey, okay, cool. And like, if like they don't respond after like the fifth time I've reached out, like over a few weeks, I get the message. It's okay. I'm not taking it personally.
What? There you go. The four agreements. You know, don't take anything personally.
Don't take it personally.
Especially if the person has never met you. You have no idea what's going on in their life. Yeah. I mean, they could have gotten corona. Yeah.
Or even
you know,
if you met them, even if you,
for all you know.
Exactly. And even if you have met them once or twice, like they're. They're not somebody who relies on me. They're not my family. They're not my close friends. We're talking about like going to hang out. Like there's zero pressure. There's really no obligation. We're choosing to participate in the, in this crazy thing. Right?
Yeah. Here's a thing that here's a question because I mean, I had a problem with the fact that you know all these guys wanted to take me out to eat dinner.
Oh, bad. Ooh.
And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to waste my time. I have friends that are like, I'll go for that free meal, but I would rather eat McDonald's. Well, maybe not McDonald's.
So what are you suggesting?
I always go. So this is usually my opener, because now that we're in this, you know, dating during the pandemic was crazy. Right. Like,
right,
it's
you
like
couldn't do
you,
shit.
You can't. Yeah. And if you start to see somebody, that's it. That's your person for life now.
Uh-huh, so, right.
You know, you got to commit.
You got to commit, you know. But now things are opened up. People are getting vaccinated, all these things. I still lead with the FaceTime, especially for that first opportunity. Because why do I need to spend my time parking, drinking this? And like, if they're willing to have a FaceTime and just shoot the shit, great. That's the first time you meet somebody.
Point.
First time meeting somebody is date zero. Every time you go on the first date, it's literally date zero. And then if you decide that this other person is not annoying the shit out of you, and you're not annoying the shit out of them, and you actually want to hang out, then you planned your first actual date.
I because fucking love this.
It's all based on, is the person annoying the shit out of you?
Yes.
I got to tell you, I read somewhere back in the day, again, that women decide within the first 3 seconds of meeting someone if they're on or off. I mean, like, literally, I saw a guy in Starbucks. We were meeting for coffee. I saw a guy in line. What do you mean, wrap it up? I saw a guy in line, and immediately I saw him waiting in line at Starbucks and knew this is not the guy for me.
Sometimes you have some. I definitely have had that feeling where I'm like, oh no, this is not. And that's okay. No hard feelings. No hard feelings. This is nice to meet you. We have a shared a drink, a casual conversation. Again, I'm a social person. So, you know, if I can make a friend, cool. If not, okay, moving on. No big deal. Should we do part two? Is there a part? Should we go do another round of this? I feel
another,
like we've
another
got time.
You another day, come back. Another day, because I think you can make a business out of this.
He's amazing, right?
I think you're amazing, and I think you really know your shit, and you're confident enough that you've sold me on this.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well you know,
I have one other question for you.
Yes.
Have you thought about dating older women?
Yes.
That's all.
Okay. Is your mom hitting on me right now?
I am not hitting on you.
Do you want to go? Listen, date zero, okay?
Date zero. I will refuse dinner, but I would.
This is a promo shout out to her own book, Fuck Games, Date Cougars.
Yes.
I love it. Oh,
so
I need to read that.
That's basically what I'm thinking is that it seems like you like women that are more, that don't play the games and that are real confident in their own skin. So that's why I was 100%. Thinking for you. I would think you wouldn't date someone younger that kind of just graduated college.
Yeah, it's pretty unlikely for me to date younger women. I think there are women out there who might be younger, who are more mature and have had life experiences, and so maybe there's compatibility there, but that's what you're trying to find is where's the compatibility? And these things are through, like, having really good conversation, again, on what are your expectations? What do you need? What do you want? What am I capable of giving and showing? And that's love languages and, like, you know, your personality types. And again, like, who you are fundamentally. And do these things work well together? So I think that first 3 to 5 dates is really all about that, figuring that stuff out. But again, I just put as little pressure as possible on the initial stage because I don't got time to put pressure on it. I don't have time for that. I have time to commit. I have time to like learn about somebody, but like I don't need to be disappointed. I've had too much of that in my life.
We gotta do more of this.
I have to thank you so much for helping him.
I also
it was
thank
my,
you.
You are my brother. I love you.
I love you, dude.
So much to offer to. There's a woman out there who will be so lucky to date you.
Oh.
And that's ultimately what it's about. So
thank
I love you,
you
so much. Thank you guys for having me. It was so great to meet your mom. This is amazing. I love your show.
Oh.
I love your show. Big fan.
Thank you so much, dude.
First time caller, long time listener.
Dude, what do you have anything you want to promote where people can find you?
Yeah, your new career as the dating guru.
Seriously.
I guess so. But I've got an improv show called Drunk Theater. Started in SF. We'll hopefully get that show started up soon. We do improvised plays, completely made up on the spot. But one of us has to take 5 shots of whiskey in a row at the beginning of the show. It's crazy. It's wild. It's different every night. So we have that show in San Francisco, hopefully opening the show in LA soon. At Drunk Theater Company is our Instagram handle. We're also on Facebook. So find us and come see the show.
And all these women that are going to be so into you after hearing this, where do they find
you? My personal Instagram is Itai Geiger, Itaigeiger. Hit me up, slide in my DMs. I've never had that happen before, so this could be a first.
Oh, wow. I think this should... are you accepting people who want a makeover of their own profile?
Oh,
you think
absolutely.
You'll start this business?
Yeah, probably will. After this conversation, yes.
Wow, okay. So hit him up.
Cam, is that a freebie? But, from now on, it's all about money.
We're going to have more conversations like this, because I love chatting with you, Itai.
I love you guys. You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dude. Bye.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Moot.
Yes.
Your birthday is coming up.
Yes.
If your partner wanted to give you some erotic gift, what would you recommend?
I would recommend Like a Kitten.
Like a Kitten?
Oh, yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because it provides you the ability to custom make a perfect box of sex essentials.
Like a Kitten will ship you a gift box with all your erotic essentials, from vibrators and massage oils to robes and handcuffs. It's your one-stop shop for a perfect evening.
Oh, geez. Going to a sex shop can be like really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But having it come in this beautiful box, which I'm demonstrating here on YouTube for those of you who can't see it, inside are some fun little things, especially for my birthday.
That you picked out yourself.
I picked it out.
A build your own box this month.
Right. And I built it out starting with a little flogger.
You chose a flogger?
I did choose a flogger.
Okay. What else did you choose?
And I chose the Libra box.
The Libra box.
It's a horoscope, and you could choose whatever you want.
And because it's a build-your-own box, they'll give you 6 categories to choose from, which are like toys, beauty products, lubes and cleansers, games, sexy accessories, and lingerie. Some of these gifts are over $69, which is the cost of the entire box.
And I love that number.
So you're winning. It's a steal of a deal, and you can even get a better deal when you use our code MOM at checkout at likeakitten.com. Right now, Like a Kitten is offering our listeners 20% off and free shipping when you go to likeakitten.com/mom or enter code MOM at checkout. Just go to likeakitten.com/mom or use code MOM to get 20% off your incredible box. That link is in this episode's description.
You want to purr again? Purr. Sneaky freaks. Has your partner ever mentioned how stiff you are?
Have you been having those hard days lately?
Need some release?
Well, Cam Soda is here to help you take a load off.
The variety of girls they've got is enough to make your head explode, and the site is so simple that you'll be making connections faster than you could pitch a tent.
And with their Share Cam feature, you can show the girls that super cool helicopter trick you've been practicing.
It even works on your phone, so you can just imagine how fun your smoke breaks will be from now on.
And why go to a strip club just to come home empty-handed when you can hop in a private chat and squeeze the most out of your time?
Come to Cam Soda, where the fun lasts longer than you will.
Head on over to camsoda.com/sextalk to get $20 free with your first purchase.
That's camsoda.com/sextalk to get your free $20 today.
Wow, I love Itai.
This guy has a natural ability to know how to do these things. I don't even understand how he does it.
He's a fucking magician.
It is. That's exactly what came to mind. Magic.
Well, it's fucking magic.
For those of you who are in that dating world, this is the guy to follow.
That's the guy to follow. Thank you, Itai, for coming on. And I think it's time for our segment of Lube It Up, presented by
Uberlube.
Uberlube is our favorite high-grade silicone lubricant.
And lubricant is important because wetter is better.
That's absolutely right. If you want a little extra slip in your sex, this creates the perfect layer between you and another person's skin. And it's made with little vitamin E, so it's very sensitive on your own skin.
And you know what I'm going to say?
What?
It's great for oral, anal, and vaginal penetration.
That's exactly right. And if you're solo and you want to just have a little something to lubricate your masturbation, this is a great way to do that.
Why were you looking at Dale?
Dale, you can vouch for being a wonderful lubricant, can't you?
I can vouch for it.
Thank you.
Especially on the solo side.
It's tremendous, and it comes in a beautiful little bottle.
It does.
You look like a billionaire when you use this.
Okay, if you really want to know how I feel about it,
yeah,
it's a whole deceptive camouflage thing.
And it, what does that mean?
That means that people see it and think, oh, it's a beautiful bottle of perfume or a little bottle of massage oil. They don't know it's a perfect blend of lube.
They don't know it's a perfect blend of lube that doesn't stain your sheets, that doesn't have a scent. It
doesn't have a taste, which is what I like.
It doesn't screw up with your pH balance.
It truthfully is the perfect lube.
Okay, so if you want to get 10% off and free shipping when you use code MOM at uberlube.com. That's uberlube, uberlube.com. Use code MOM. You'll hook us up and you'll hook yourself up. How do you like that? So Uberlube is presenting this wonderful segment called Lube It Up that is supposed to help lubricate your conversations about sex and relationships.
Today we have a very interesting question. We'd like you to tell us about a time you've been naked in public. Yahoo!
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 I have definitely been naked in public very recently, which is why I decided to ask this question to you sneaky freaks. So I'll get into that after this. But Mom, have you ever been naked in public?
Well, yes, many times.
Many times? Yeah. Many times?
Yes, many times.
What do you
times.
Mean, many times?
Well, let's just put it this way. Your father and I had a few times where we decided to get a little crazy out in the wild.
What kind of wild?
Well, one involved Quaaludes.
Of course. And where were you?
In the next door neighbor's backyard. It was in our backyard.
Well, that sounds like in private.
It was my idea, actually. We were doing Quaaludes, me and your dad and another couple. And it was my idea to just, let's just jump in the water and go skinny dipping.
So you were with another couple.
Yes. And then our next door neighbor saw us in the water and they decided to just hop on over the fence and come and join us in the pool.
No way.
So we had six of us in the pool and it wasn't even sexual. It was just kind of like cool. We're just naked in the pool.
Do you know, I've been naked in a pool with many, many friends at a bachelor. No, it was at a wedding actually a few years ago. And then several of us got in the same inner tube and we ended up popping it.
Wait, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Why were you in an inner tube in a wedding? What are you talking about?
We were in a pool, naked,
in
with a
wedding.
Bunch of friends, at a wedding, over a wedding weekend.
Oh, over the weekend. The wedding was
not
in a pool.
No, not at the wedding.
Okay, I was very confused about that.
No. Anyway, that's a classic one. Dale, have you ever been naked in public?
I don't think I have.
Really?
Have you ever had sex in a park where the other person got mosquito bites on their head? That happened to me, too.
Dale, what's your experience with being naked in public?
Honestly, very little. I don't think I really ever had sex outside. I guess in camping once, but it was in a tent. And that was,
What do you think is preventing you from doing this?
I think access to a partner who wants to be outside and naked.
I will tell you firsthand, you don't need a partner to do that. You could just take off your clothes and be outside.
I could do that, yes.
Why would he want to do that?
Well, we'll get into that.
Okay.
Okay, I want to read a few answers from our sneaky freaks.
Oh, yeah. We always like to pose questions to them. And if anybody else would like to participate.
Yeah, you can text us. 310-356-3920. That's our text line. Give us a text and we'll pose a question to you every week so that we can read your answers. Okay, here we go. Amanda says, I went to a naked foam party by Dr. Bronner's at a regional Burning Man event in Miami. Fucking amazing and so freeing. I have been to a Dr. Bronner's Burning Man naked shower.
Foam party?
It was a naked shower event.
Yeah, you've talked about that.
It's incredibly liberating.
If anybody wants to hear that episode, it's on Burning Man, it's called, I think.
Yeah, something like
that. Yeah, Burning Man. Yeah, it was a great episode. Cam talked about all his adventures in the showers.
That's exactly right.
But
I whipped at Burning Man. I think
that would be really fun to get all foamy and just slip around like in, one of these wrestling.
Foam parties are real hit or miss. Like, it can be real nasty in there.
That's true, too. I didn't think about that.
But Dr. Bronner's does a good job in, spraying you down. It's good.
Who is Dr. Bronner's?
They make that soap.
Oh.
Yeah, it's nice. Okay, Lisa says, I can't say I recall a time being naked in public. I probably always had a fear of getting caught. The closest thing I can think of is people could see I had sex openly with my partner in front of people in a lifestyle club. I did find that exhilarating, and it was a turn-on. Well, exhibitionist action.
It reminds me of me.
You like you have a
we did a segment on that when I had sex in front of the Treasury Building in Washington D.C.
Yep, you need to visualize that again. Okay, Megan says about 7 or 8 years ago, my friend invited me to the nude beach. It was my first time, and I was feeling super shy about seeing naked people. How did I conquer my shyness? I took off my glasses. So everything looked like a giant sensor blur.
I love that. That is hilarious. So
I love that tip,
Megan. If
you
have bad vision, that can make you much more comfortable.
That's exactly right. That's phenomenal. Okay, we had Jorge said, only one time I've been naked in public? My wife and I love going to a resort where clothing is not an option and you can fuck where you please.
We love the little sneaky freaks in you.
Yeah, there is a lot of sneaky freaks out there. There was this one time before we knew that of safe places to be nude in public, we went to a trail behind our school. We had a little picnic. We started playing. The trail was deserted and far from the houses and school, so we went for it. We had a sleeping bag, so it was helpful. Then, as we got into it, we were just out in the open. As soon as we got dressed, some people started hiking by us. You know, you luck out. The stars aligned for you, Jorge.
No, maybe Jorge wanted the people to see him.
Oh, that's true, too. You never know these things. Lizzie says, I nannied at a cottage for millionaires all summer, and when the family went to sleep, we'd get high and I'd skinny dip. That's a sexy ass shit right there.
Yeah, I like it.
She also said that my partner and I went camping this weekend and canoed out to a spot that was so remote no one would be able to see us, and we lived as nude little cave people, tits to the wind.
Have you ever had sex in a pool?
No. Have you?
Yes.
And is it good?
It was very, very erotic.
Erotic.
But only because of the exhibitionist part of it.
The actual slippage and stuff.
Slippage was not good.
I'll tell you, you use Uber Lube, it helps with the
slide.
Here
we go with
it
Uber
Lube. It
does
because it's waterproof. Right. It's tremendous. Richie says, Black's Beach, nude beach in San Diego. A lot of fun activity going on there.
Yep.
Richie's a fucking animal.
Well, excuse me, judgmental Jerry.
I'm not judgmental. I'm not being judgmental. He's always contributing these answers that out of control. Daniel says, I got some head a few times before at a basketball park. My dick was so wet in her mouth, and then she pulled out her tits for me to come on them. Public blowjobs are the best, dude.
Oh, my God. That
sneaky
is insane.
Motherfucker.
Talk about sneaky. Woo.
Okay. Cassie says, I don't know if this counts, but in college, I took a beginner's swimming course as my phys ed. I used to be on the swim team in high school, so it was easy. On the last day, we learned diving, and I only had a two-piece suit with me at school. Each dive, I lost my bottoms in front of the whole class, but only got full points if my arms were extended properly in front of me, so no holding them up. Everyone in that class saw my lily-white butt, but I got full points. Love y'all. This is pretty cute.
That is adorable.
I don't think it counts, though.
It doesn't count? Why not?
No, she's not being conscious, conscious about being naked in public.
No, we're being very judgmental of our sneaky freaks.
No, you gotta step up to the plate here. We had Dane say, there was the time my wife and I had sex at a beach, didn't get caught, and then the other time was when we had sex at the local baseball diamond. People are going to the parks and fucking...
That's what happened to me, but I got to tell you something.
That's what happened to you.
No, that we were fucking in the park, and then your father got mosquito bites all over his ass.
Yeah, like a baseball diamond or basketball court or something like that?
It was a park.
It was a park.
A little park.
In nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are people using public facilities. A baseball diamond? Dusty.
Okay.
Going to home base? On home base. Full home run. Home run on
home
base.
What else did he say there? Because there was something else that spurred a thought.
Sex at the beach.
That's not so great.
What?
Very sandy, not great.
Sand in the cooch.
Yeah. Sand in the cooch, sand in the ass, no good.
Yeah, it's not good. Amanda says, this was brave of me. My boyfriend told me that he would give me $40 to walk up the road with just my panties on to pick up a box of graham crackers he placed. Since I'm a soldierette, I did it. I like that.
That's cute.
That's hilarious.
What graham crackers, she likes them.
That's a fun little game you play. Okay, I put something, a graham... What? Graham crackers is a weird thing to put on the end of the road.
I am a graham cracker fan, though. I love that graham crackers.
Yeah, but why don't you put something like kind of sexy? Graham crackers is like such a like a childish thing to put at the end
of
it.
I bet they were fucked up and they were high, and then they were like, I can go for a box of graham crackers right now. I'm going to go on run around in my underwear and get them.
I like that. Mackenzie says, at my college, it is a tradition to run naked around the central lawn. One time I did it after a toga party, and it was very difficult to turn my bedsheet back into a clothing to get dressed and walk home. Oh, yeah. So she's naked as fuck.
Have you ever been to a toga party?
I've been to toga parties. I've been naked running around campus.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's some fun shit right there. Kristen says, on Mount Rainier. How about
that? That's cool.
Talking while peeing, and the entire group turned to me with headlights on. Why did I have to start talking while peeing?
I don't know.
That's pretty good.
That's interesting.
Okay. And our final one is from Joe, who says, I was naked when I went to a strip club. What? What?
Oh, well, there's some sneaky freak going on in the back there.
Joe.
That's in the back
unless
room.
Unless this is a male strip club.
No.
Why are you the one naked?
Because he's fucking somebody in the back room.
Oh, you think he's fucking someone in the back room?
Yeah, why do I have to educate
you? The champagne
you?
Room.
Yeah, the champagne room.
Oh, wow.
You know how I know about all this.
I wouldn't be able to get naked.
I know about all this stuff. You totally would not do that.
Last time I was in a strip club, I started hyperventilating. I almost passed out. I swear to God, that's a true story.
But you hyperventilate because you were so excited.
Yes.
That was not
I was
because
overstimulated.
You were overstimulated. Yeah. It was too much for you.
It was way too much. It's too much stimulation for a young guy. What?
My mind went to somewhere else. When you shouted out on the last TikTok, the words that you'd want to hear were,
I'm coming. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it got taken down because of that.
First of all, why are you bringing this up right now?
I just thought I'd bring that up.
Okay. Second of all, Dale, do you have any stories you'd like to share now that you've heard all these people open up?
I do, actually. Those stories reminded me of an experience I had as a kid. Family vacation. We're at a lake house, and the lake's kind of shaped like a Y. So we're kind of like on one of like the offshoots of this lake. And there's like maybe 10 of us swimming, like big family event. And these people come by on a jet ski. One lady, one man, and they drive by us, they wave to us, and then they kind of like park at the end of like the tip of the lake. And so, you know, we're swimming, we're having fun, we're not thinking anything of it. And then my buddy and I are looking at this jet ski that's parked down the lake, and there's the lady's legs are straight up in the air, and we're like, hey, they're banging, right? Like, that's like, that's what we're seeing
they're
right here.
Fucking on the
and,
jet ski.
And so they just, these two people just drove by this big family event and then parked like less than a football field away, like very clearly on an uninhibited view from us and just started going at it. And then they clearly realized that they were fucking in front of us. So they pulled around someone else's dock, finished, and then they had to come back.
Oh my God.
This badass couple comes back and waves again.
Oh my God. Like,
did everybody give a round of applause?
Everyone knew exactly what had happened by that point.
That
we
is
all
amazing.
Thought it was hysterical, but we coined that term kiddie pooling. And
why is it kiddie pooling?
I just thought that was, you know, a fun way to describe a technical crime that they'd committed.
How old were you when this was going on?
I had to have been probably somewhere between like sixth grade and the freshman in high school, like somewhere in that range.
Okay.
Oh, wow. This would have sent me over the edge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was exhilarating.
Wow.
No one wants to go into a mattress store, especially like in the pandemic times, because it's nothing worse than lying in a mattress. You know, all these other people have slept on before you. They're ruining the mattress that was there so that you can't even tell what it really originally felt like.
And how about the sales associate?
And the sales associate are standing over you, like, annoying the shit out of you, hovering. And then you get so nervous that you're buying the wrong one, then you're stuck with it.
So you order online. That's the key. They'll give you contactless delivery.
And if you don't like it,
you can send it back. 100 days risk-free.
You know what I like about this also? They have a specialized cooling technology. So people know that you get to a certain age, you need that cooling technology.
Here's what I like about it. Helix is not like all the other online mattress companies. They give you an online quiz, so they match the perfect mattress directly to your needs. So they'll ask you a bunch of questions. It only takes a few minutes, but they'll ask you questions like, do you like it firm? Do you like it soft? Do you sleep on your back, on your side, on your stomach? How tall are you? What much do you weigh?
It's perfect for you, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
That's exactly right. They gave me a Helix Dawn mattress, and I couldn't have crafted a better mattress myself. It really is tremendous. Right now, you can get $200 off all Helix Sleep mattress orders and two free pillows when you go to helixsleep.com/sextalk. That's helixsleep.com/sextalk for $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows.
Can I tell you one other thing? Couples fight about a lot of things. Your mattress doesn't need to be one of them.
helixsleep.com/sextalk. I want to share an experience I had this past weekend. This past weekend, I was naked in public.
What were you doing?
I did a naked bike ride.
What?
Me, my friend, and about 300 older naked men.
What?
Yeah.
Because I've witnessed those.
What do you mean you witnessed those?
I witnessed naked when we was I'm all tongue-tied. You participated in it? Yeah. I can't believe it. I was in Chicago, yeah. And I saw this group of, and Jeremy, your younger brother, was with me, and Deez's parents. All of a sudden, we see a huge amount of people on bikes just cruising by us, naked. And some of them were even renting bikes, which is really gross.
Yeah, there were some rentals.
So wait a second. You decided to do this?
I did. And it was at my friend's request. My friend Schmuels calls me up and he's like, there's a naked bike ride this week and we got to do it.
I am in shock.
And he pushed me to do it because it was early in the morning. And I don't like to make, that was the biggest.
That's the problem? Was it early in the morning?
Problem for me. I had to wake up early and bike my ass down there. But it was in downtown Los Angeles. And I was fucking ass naked in front of the goddamn Staples Center.
Oh
on my bike.
God.
Yeah. There was a rule in this.
I'm actually very proud of you.
Thank
you. That takes balls.
It
literally
did take balls. Because
you showed your balls.
Your little flaccid dick hanging out.
Why were you flaccid?
There was a rule. If you get erect, you have to put clothes on.
What do you do?
It's illegal if you get erect.
How do you not get erect, though, if you're like knowing you?
I could barely get erect. Are you kidding me? It was like in me. I was so nervous. It's like so not flattering to have like.
Yeah, but what if like a really attractive woman rode.
There was. There actually were some women there.
So how do you
were very attractive.
How do you prevent yourself from getting erect, especially you?
No, in that state of mind, I'm like, oh God, my little dick is out. Isn't that
your little dick is out?
Yeah, because there's a big. The more I talk to guys about this, no one I think is very proud of their flaccid dick. I mean, very few people are.
So most people are not showers; they're growers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was feeling I was actually very self-conscious about it.
Very vulnerable. I would think there's a lot. I would be like, "Oh my God."
No, it was extremely vulnerable, and but then you look around you, and everyone's dick is out. No one's sexualizing you.
And by the way, who cares?
No one knows who you are. It's fine.
Now, what would you think if you saw me rolling on by naked as a jaybird?
Someone asked me if my mom attended with me.
I did not attend with you.
Fucking way did my mom attend. There were families there, though.
You know, a lot of people do that. My friend goes to St. Martin with her kids, and she's a grown woman, and they're grown men. And she's like, you know, if they can't see me naked, well, then they don't need to come.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. A lot of families feel totally fine being naked in front of each other. In our family, that was taboo.
Yeah, I'm not into being naked in front of you.
I'm not into being naked in front of you either. But
your brother
knows. If you really, in theory, there's really, I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't be naked in front of everyone.
Like, I mean, I'm in front of your sister. She's fine, and vice versa.
Is it true?
Yeah. All the time. We're always changing in bathing suits or whatever, trying on bras or whatever, and no one's paying attention.
That's exactly right. That's amazing. Yeah. I don't know why there's this thing. Anyway.
I would like to hear from Stinky Freaks. What do you think is with the stigma there?
Being naked in front of your family. Yeah.
Or if it's just opposite sex.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Although, if Dan were around, I wouldn't want to be naked around him.
Why?
I don't know.
Because you heard he had a big dick?
Yeah, I'd feel very, very small in comparison. There was a situation I ran into, though.
What?
You know, because I was naked, these are parts of my body that have never seen the sun. My ass.
Oh,
and my
that's
dick
true. You got a white ass sticking out there.
Exactly. So I start lotioning up before I go. Because I'm also thinking if I start lotioning there, I might get an erection.
You might have. You also could have slid off the seat.
So there was an issue before I even got out the door.
Oh my God.
I started getting so nervous that I took a shit and it was diarrhea because I got the worms and it was nervous.
Oh!
So I had to.
Wait, hold on. You can't just say, I got the worms and was nervous. And people listening to this for the first time going, what is wrong with this guy?
About this.
No.
We don't need to get into the worms.
Sneaky Freaks, you know what he's talking about. He has been exposed to worms.
No, I have not been exposed to worms. Anyway. I took a terrible I lotion up, I take a terrible shit, and I have to shower then. And I start repeating this cycle of shit, lotion, shit, shower, lotion, shit, shower. By the time I get over there, I don't know if I have lotion on my balls or not. I start having to lotion my balls.
What is wrong? How do you make something so fun, like a naked bike ride, into something so weird?
I don't know, but I start getting lotion
all over the seat.
All over the
seat. Oh, yeah. My God.
And then, so then I start.
No one is ever going to want to borrow your bike.
Bikes are not. First of all, it was my friend's bike that I borrowed.
No.
Yes.
You borrowed someone else's bike and shit is probably. Yeah, I just saw a TikTok video about
that. It was a clean ass.
I saw a TikTok video about how important it is to wear underwear when you sleep because you inadvertently will fart and spray out little particles of feces.
Ew.
Okay, that's everybody. So imagine how much leftover shit was on your seat with that you
no,
borrowed.
No, I was very well cleaned at that point. But I was standing on the pedals hanging out.
What?
Yeah, because a lot of guys are just like sitting on their seats, well, but it was uncomfortable for me because it's like a road bike.
So it's you like were doing
skinny-ass
like
a thing on my ass.
Like if in spin class when you do.
Yeah, I was standing on the pedals.
Oh my God.
And so
they were doing a climb.
There was this woman on the side of the road who just like announced, she's like announcing it. And she goes, "Oh, we got a swinger here."
Oh, she saw your dick swinging?
She goes, "Yeah, we got a little dick swing going. We got a little swing action going on," is what she said.
Oh my God, I'm so proud of you.
It was great. Anyway, it was a riveting experience. Oh, there was one guy who was just yelling, "Jesus is coming again! Jesus is coming again!"
Randos.
They were not into that. And then one of the guys shouts back, "He can ride with us too."
Jesus can ride with. Well, what was the purpose of this?
So it was interesting. Some of the people were doing it because they believe that we should be using bikes more than cars.
Oh, that is exactly why they do it. I forgot.
And then a lot of others were doing it because of body positivity and accepting of our new bodies.
I like both of those reasons.
Yeah.
And why did you do it?
A beautiful story from this guy who had scars all over his body. And he said from a young age he would never want to take off a shirt.
Oh.
And he does this because...
Wait, you talked about this while you're flapping around in the wind over there?
It was before the flap.
Oh, this is all... So you're standing around naked before... How many women to men were there?
They're probably 5 to 10% women.
Yeah,
it was a huge sausage fest.
Were they attractive men that were out there?
No.
Just want to know.
Some of them, it really was all ages. It was a beautiful event.
There were families?
There were a few families, yeah.
Like kids
there was a little kid wearing a bag that says nudist.com. I was dying.
That's adorable. Did he have training wheels on his bicycle?
No, not that young. And the kids were clothed, like with underwear and stuff. So, you know, have a little.
Yeah,
there's
going to be
dick.
Some pedophiles
I know,
out there.
Yeah, okay. It's gross. Anyway, I highly recommend any public experience that you can have when you're naked because it really is
liberating.
It's liberating and it's a moment where you can really accept yourself.
You know,
it's very uncomfortable.
My friend always runs these hedonism events.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main thing is exactly what you're saying, being comfortable in your own skin and being naked all the time. And she's always naked all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so mother,
what
did you have anything in your life that you wanted to share?
Just like I said before, a couple things. One is, I'm very upset about the TikTok situation.
What?
I'm upset because we had a funny little video up. We got quite a few views. And then all of a sudden, we had thousands of views, actually.
Uh-huh.
It was what was the question about? Something about being,
dirty talk?
What do you love to hear during sex?
Yeah.
And you said, "I'm coming!"
Yeah.
Why was that taken down? And not only was it taken down, they wouldn't let me post anything after that until it was reviewed.
It's unbelievable.
But meanwhile, you see crazy shit going on with the people that have millions of views. So it's very discriminating. We're back on again on TikTok. So if you guys want to help us out and get more views so we become bigger and we can put more I'm coming videos up, you join us on TikTok. It's a fun app.
Your birthday is coming up. Is this a birthday gift to you?
Yeah, for my birthday, I would like you guys to join TikTok and Sex Talk with My Mom and my own Karen Lee Porter, but especially Sex Talk with My Mom. We have put up some funny videos that you guys can check us out on, and I'd appreciate if you join us there.
Do my mother a birthday favor. Give us that follow. Hit that like button.
Maybe we can get...
smash the like button.
Maybe I can take a picture of Cam in a naked bike riding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so. All right. I think we want to... Do you want to go into this new segment of the show, Mother?
I think we need to, because I went to the doctor, and you've had some doctor visits, and it's time for...
Letters to My Doctor. Letters to My Doctor is a new segment where we get to share letters and messages that we've sent to our doctor.
Because we have a little bit of anxiety when it comes to medical conditions, and we thought someone can relate to this. Some sneaky freaks out there would love to hear about us and our neurosis.
Okay, so I was going through my treasure trove of messages to my doctor.
I can't even imagine how many doctors did you message.
There's always follow-up messages. They want me out of the appointment, and so then I'm gonna send them a list of follow-up questions.
And why do you think they want you out of the appointment?
Because they got other people to see. It has nothing to do with the amount of questions I'm asking.
Nothing.
Or the validity of my questions.
Nothing.
So this is a follow-up to, you know, this situation with the worms. Because as you know, if you listened last week, we had this situation where someone stole my shit from me. A lab tech stole my fucking shit.
Because she early. She really wants that stuff. She collects it.
She collects
There's something about your shit that's special.
She collected it after 2 days. It was supposed to be 3 days. I was supposed to have three samples of shit in this one little tube.
Okay.
And she refused to let me shit in it again. So anyway, I follow up with my doctor. And so this is my letter to my doctor, Dr. Wong.
Okay.
Hi, Dr. Wong. Thank you for your message. I have a question. Yeah, this is a follow. At this point, we have a long exchange going.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for your message. I have a question for you regarding the Parasite and OVA test. Is the test still effective or accurate if I only included stool samples from 2 days as opposed to the recommended 3 days?
Right there, he should say whack and a half. Whack and a half. Like, what the fuck? Who would ask this kind of question? Can you imagine Dr. Wong, like, what's wrong with this person?
Well, I then go on to say, make sure he doesn't think I'm a crazy, by saying, it's a long story, but when I went to turn in the stool samples...
Wait, it's a long story?
It's a long story. I'm keeping it brief for him.
Yeah, thank God.
It's a long story, but when I went to turn in the stool samples, the lab tech printed out the ticket for the parasite and OVA analysis, despite my telling her it was not ready. I wanted to deliver the other samples to make sure they were fresh, and unfortunately, the lab tech refused to let me turn in 4 of the 5 samples.
Wait, you literally sent this?
Yeah,
from now
this.
On, before you send anything like this, you need to run it by me because that is insane. I cannot believe you gave him the blow-by-blow. Literally, when you said it's a long story, you went into the story.
Yeah.
You didn't go abbreviating it. You told him exactly what happened.
No, there are a lot of details here that I left off, like the fight in the tug of war that I had with the fucking lab tech. She trying to make me feel like the idiot for bringing in the stool sample when she should not be printing out the ticket that I told her not to print out.
Continue.
And why can't she just order another test?
Continue, Cam. Continue.
So I just said, please let me know if you think we need to repeat this test. I appreciate your guidance. All the best, Cam.
All the best, Cam.
Yeah.
Are you very close with Dr. Wong?
I've seen him once. And he didn't respond to my message. Someone else in his practice responded to my message.
Can you imagine that?
He was like, oh, no, we got to
send message
this to
saying,
I am this one.
Heart failure. I mean, should I go to that? And he gets this kind of message from you?
Well, he's
it's mortifying. It's mortifying.
His associate not only ordered me this Parasite Nova test, they also ordered me a thyroid test, a celiac disease test. I got to be honest. My shit is back to normal.
Is it possible that you just ate something that caused some loose stool?
Yes. And I realized I was eating full bags of salad roughage from Trader Joe's, and I thought maybe that could contribute.
So it had nothing to do with you getting worms in Mexico a month and a half earlier.
I don't know. It's all confusing to me.
This is what you need to do, which is what I do with my doctor.
What?
You message him with something that you know is completely insane.
What?
Like, I message my doctor saying, I'm getting some numbness in my fingers, and I'd like to talk to you because I think I may have Parkinson's disease.
Oi.
And when you say that, they immediately know you're nuts. So then they schedule a Zoom call with you.
Ah.
That's what you do. You go to a Zoom call.
So you don't need to do the in-person then.
And yeah. And then psychologically speaking, what I do is I say, you know, I'm an anxious person. You preface that. So they know not to cause you any extra anxiety by telling you to go in for extra tests.
I like that.
That's what you do.
That's what you do. Well, that's our segment of letters to my mom. Or letters to my doctor. Speaking of shit, mother.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a very brief segment of hit on or shit on.
Oh, well, let's do it.
Hit on or shit on is where we take your comments, your wonderful, sweet comments, and determine if they are a hit on or a shit on.
Okay.
I'd like to begin.
Let's hear it.
Today, or this week, we've received a few comments based on a video that we put out. DW Rec says in the comments, too many weirdos online.
Was that directed towards us?
Yeah, that was directed towards us.
Okay, well, so yeah, I guess that's a shit on.
That's a shit on, yeah. And I would like to respond by saying, fuck off.
And I'd like to ditto that.
We had XXA Sunder XX say, Cam, I'm sorry, but you look like an 80s adult film star with that stash.
That is so not a compliment either.
That's another shit on.
That's a shit on.
Although I actually kind of like the look of an 80s adult film star.
Yeah.
I actually am kind of going in that direction.
Like right out of Boogie Nights.
Exactly.
Okay.
So actually, that might be a hit on for me. That's a hit on.
It's a compliment?
Yeah, that's a compliment. Yeah, okay. And then Polo Mary says, Ron Jeremy? Question mark. Okay, so now we're seeing a trend.
Oh, okay. Speaking of 80s film stars, let me tell you that I met Ron Jeremy, who is an iconic porn star, who apparently, I never really actually watched his videos, but he had a very, very big dick.
Yeah.
For the day. But, you know, it
for the day. Now he's got nothing.
I mean, now that male porn stars are good looking, at those days, the creepier the better.
Why?
I don't know. The females always had to be good looking, but the males, I don't think it matters.
Very interesting.
Unless it was just my imagination. Maybe
no,
the
I think
female.
You're right. I don't think Ron Jeremy. Because wait, what the fuck?
Well, I wrote, it's not a compliment.
I did not see that.
Yeah, well, I answered him for you. I thought it was a shit on. I met Ron Jeremy later on in life, like a few years ago at a convention. As all moms go to. Like, you know, one of those
porn conventions.
Erotica convention.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The guy is heinous. He looks way worse than he ever looked.
Wow.
Regardless of what size dick he had, and he was not a particularly nice guy.
Oh,
and he is, that is literally one of the most shit on statements for you.
Really
is worse than Lin-Manuel Miranda for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, he is not a good looking man. If anybody Googles it and agrees with me, please let us know.
Okay, let's get out of hit on or shit on. This is it's too but detrimental to my sense of ego.
No, I mean, maybe they were referring to your big dick.
Right.
It could
be
that.
They were.
In which case, then it's not a bad thing.
Yes. You want to do mom's news?
I think it's time for mom's news.
Mom's news.
Okay.
Mom's news is a segment of our show where my mother shares earth-shattering, groundbreaking, need-to-know info for you.
Right, and this is from a site called fanbuzz.com.
Fanbuzz.com?
You know, it's and the title is MMA
fighter. You know.
You know, it's a good one. MMA fighter poops herself in the middle of a fight. I found this to be perfect in our speaking of pooping and
all
kinds of excrement. And I never thought about this, but apparently it doesn't matter who it is. If the average person stepped into the octagon with MMA fighters like Conor, blah, 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 whatever, they are 150% pooping themselves. There's just no denying it. I'm sorry. This is what this person writes. Mixed martial arts is a ruthless, gory sport where even the prettiest of faces can look like 40 bees attacked at the end of a fight. Spinning back fists, brutal headbutts, and thrashing kicks to the forehead are just a few of the devastating moves you'll see and tune into. But what got me here, Cam, is Justine Kish and Felice Herrig squared off at a UFC Strawlight division fight during UFC night in 2017. Neither of them knew.
Oh, this is 2017,
this is not all that current, by the way.
No, Jesus.
I just realized
this is literally over 4 years ago.
Apparently Herrig attempted a rear naked chokehold.
What?
Kish's balls apparently couldn't handle the pressure. And what do you think happened?
She shits herself?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you think it is. Kish totally pooped all over the place like a toddler who had one too many bowls of beans.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, it was totally real and someone had to clean it up.
Ew.
This is disgusting.
I could definitely do this. I would definitely shit myself if I entered an MMA ring.
100%. Before,
I mean, I went to a naked bike ride and I shit myself before.
You would shit yourself walking into the rink.
Yeah, I really would. The rink. It's not
rink.
A rink.
What
it's
is
not,
it?
It's not an ice rink. It's a ring.
Ring.
You would shit yourself.
I definitely do. I mean, I
definitely do.
I remember when we were on Megyn Kelly Today.
Yeah.
And I was out there meeting all the people walking down the hallway. And where were you?
Shitting.
Shitting yourself.
That's it. I'm a shitter. What can I say?
And you can shit in public, which a lot of people can't do. A lot of people can only shit in their own home.
People have very different stress responses. Some people get constipated when they get stressed. Some people need to shit themselves when they get stressed.
Yeah. I have to pee constantly when I get stressed.
Oh, I'm peeing constantly. Dale, were you going in or are you going out?
Nerves don't really tend to affect my bowels.
What?
Yeah. I did have an incident on the way to an interview once where I pissed myself. That was fun.
Wait, what? Aww. You pissed yourself?
On accident. So I was prepping across the street from the interview. There was a coffee shop. I'm like, cool. I was way too early. So I posted up at the coffee shop. I go to 20 minutes till I have to be across the street. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go pee. I'll be ready for this interview. Golden. I go in. I step up to the urinal to do my business. And I whip it out. I'm ready to pee. And I just can't pee. I feel like I gotta pee.
Oh,
but
he's a pee shy.
I can't. Yeah, I got a little pee shy, even though I was alone in there or whatever. So I'm like, all right, I stand there for a minute. I feel like an idiot because I asked a random employee to watch my bag. So I'm like, I can't make him wait too long. I'm just gonna, I don't need to pee. So I zip up, I step away, and as soon as I step away, just the floodgate opens.
Oh,
and I just full on piss myself.
No.
I like I can't
oh
stop.
God.
I didn't start, so I can't stop. It made no sense, but I fully
no sense?
Fully pissed my
wait,
I'm
wait,
in a suit.
Wait, you don't
oh my
stop?
God.
I
How
suddenly have
stop?
No control. I didn't start. I didn't like
I don't, didn't start, I didn't stop.
There's an on and an off, and I've activated neither, and it's just going.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And so I'm in a suit, and thankfully it's a dark suit because I fully pissed my it's like a dark blue suit so like
can you
I,
imagine what you smelled like going
I
into the interview
had to smell like piss like there's
you
no
went into the interview
I went to that yeah I went I walked into
like
the interview
piss.
I well, first
oh my God.
First I panicked and went into the stall and just started stuffing toilet paper down my pant leg because
I
had to dry
God.
It up you can't go with wet piss it's one
no,
thing to show up full of piss
dry
but,
piss
but wet
one.
Piss so I dried
off. Did
you
off, get little white fuzzy, white fuzzy balls when you were wiping it off with the towel?
I think so, but in the suit leg.
So,
I did a topical dry on the outside, but I tried to do the bulk of the dry at the source on
and
the
inside.
And
what type of interview is this?
This is a interview for a a professional post college business job. This was actually
okay.
the one that I just worked at.
Okay,
you ended up getting the job.
I got the job.
You got the
no
job.
Way.
They probably figured he smells like piss, but that's a dedicated guy right there.
That is amazing.
First of all, it's so typical that kind of job would hire you anyway. They don't care.
They don't care
if you're pissing, pooping, whatever's going on. They're just going to hire you anyway.
That is fucking an unbelievable story.
Oh, my God.
I cannot believe you fully pissed yourself.
I'm impressed that you actually went through with it. It reminds me when you went in, you got in a full-on car accident and you still took the ACT test.
Yes, I did. Didn't do well.
The show must go on, folks.
The show must go on. Actually, this show must end.
All right. This
because
show
we've
must
reached
end.
The end of our All show. Right. So I want to thank everyone for listening. And I want to thank everyone for supporting our show, making this possible. Specifically, the people on Patreon are Sneaky Freaks.
I love those Sneaky Freaks. And when you join Patreon, that's saying that you're an official Sneaky Freak and you're a supporter of our show. And that really makes a lot. It means a lot to us.
It gives us enough money to hire Dale so that we can video record all this stuff.
Right.
It really helps us out emotionally as well. Because,
because we know
it's a labor of love, really.
We know you're there. Yeah, because we don't literally get paid to do these podcasts, in case you guys are wondering.
We get a little advertising money, but a lot of it comes from Patreon. So thank you to our patrons, and very big thank you to our newest patron, Vincent A. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, and you get a shout out if you join Patreon, too. So it's Patreon, patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
We do fun things. We have a Discord channel where you can communicate with all the other Sneaky Freaks. They host game nights.
We have so much fun.
Every other week. It's very fun.
And we have exclusive content there from your favorite comedians and things like that that cannot be seen anywhere else.
If you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. And if you want to help us out even more, please leave us a rating and review wherever you're doing this. It takes only five minutes or less, maybe 2 minutes or less. Wherever you're listening to this, just
open up 1 minute or less.
Open up that app and just leave us a rating and review. I wanted to read a couple of wonderful thoughts that we got recently.
Let's hear it.
Sage wrote, "You guys are killing me with this loosey-goosey pussy episode."
Oh, that was the last episode.
"Cam, thanks for attempting to say my name. I feel special." I guess I didn't say it right. "Karen, I almost choked while laughing at yours. I have had 3 kids, so no, I've never been told I'm tight either. Ha ha ha."
At least I'm open and honest. So no pun intended.
We got another one from Angela who says, "Cam, I think you're in your element when you're podcasting." That is a fucking sweet ass message. I appreciate that, Angela. If you want to help us out, go to ratethispodcast.com/mom. You'll make a fucking day.
Did you like that when she said you're in your element?
I heard that. I love that. Are you kidding me?
Just remember that.
What?
Whenever you're thinking of ever leaving, this is your element.
I have to tell you, if you're listening to this, my mother uses every opportunity to convince me to, whether or not I'm thinking about even going on hiatus with the show, she literally is telling me I needed to be doing the show at all fucking times.
Yeah.
Which makes me not want to do the show. FYI.
He's very rebellious.
I'm very rebellious. I want to thank everyone for all your support and love. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dale, for making this show possible and the YouTubes. And thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you to Mother for being here. And a big happy birthday to my
Woo-hoo!
Mother, the Moot. I hope you have a wonderful year ahead.
Thank you, son. I appreciate that.
We're going to celebrate and we'll give you a little recap on how we do that.
Okay. Can't wait for the whole weekend of festivities because my birthday goes on for weeks.
Please do us a favor. Share this with a friend. We'd appreciate it.
We really would. And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and having some expertise from the guru of dating.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
It wasn't exactly perfect.
It was bad, but it's your birthday and I'm not going to talk about it.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
We love you, sneaky freaks.
Love you, sneaky freaks.